been watching them for years. It's always been something that fit with all the animated characters that's doing their own bits. With a fry who's in the future and a family guy that sucks. With a father from a Hilleburger family runs a muck. The show inspires the same guy, except he totally same. And diverse.
Let's watch cartoons that burn.
Yeah, that's bananas.
As rough.
All right, let's move on to 105. An elephant makes love to a pig. My first note is Kyle got an elephant. Simpsons did it. already oh, Simpsons
yeah,
did it.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Also, first Shelley episode, first introduction to Shelley. Right. And the first
just, I didn't realize that, like, they pretty much set up her getting her braces.
Yeah, literally. The opening is like she's mad because she got her braces.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I guess that's why she's mad the whole show.
Yes, for sure. that's exactly right.
I never realized that.
She's so mad. God, one of my favorite stories in South Park ever is a Shelley story. It's the fucking Broadway bro down one, man. Her and the vegan kid. One of my favorite things ever. You make me come out of my shell. Shelley is an all-time moment in South Park history, if you ask me. And this is also kind of the introduction to Mephisto, the mad scientist, and how he was a huge part of the show. And like he's bioengineering animals with multiple asses.
Yeah, four asses.
Also, he has like a son in this one who never comes back. Like it's like his son is in this and like he never shows up again. You know what? Like, I think I like this one more than I remember. Like I put this one low in my ranking and now I'm reading all my notes and I'm like, oh, I like the weird clone of, I like the weird clone of Stan who goes chewy chewy chomp. That, for some reason, that makes me laugh pretty much every time. I like when they clone him and they're just like, he only has one ass. It's a failure. Yeah, you know it's funny. You know it.
Do I know it?
You know it. I was also laughing. Like they had Chef. And then this is one where Chef sings a sexy song for sexy reasons to try and get the elephant and the pig in the mood. And I like the Elton John cameo coming in to sing a verse. But that makes me laugh because later in the show, in that same episode, Broadway Brodown, I was just talking about, they make him a bro. They make all of those music, those Broadway folks bros. So he's so different singing here versus what they do later. Oh, man. Yeah, this is an interesting episode. This is the one where I was noticing how Pip was the kid they picked on before they just had Butters take over that role. Yeah, what do you think about this one?
I'm not a fan.
No.
Nah.
You don't like Chewy Chewy Chomp?
No.
No. Now I know how all those white women felt.
Now I know how all those white women felt.
Oh man,
I think one of my only notes about this is a animation thing, which is this is when all of the mouth shapes look normal.
Yeah,
all the regular, because you know they just kind of use this, they've been using the same mouths for the entire run of the show, but this is like where they come from, I think. Like they start using the regular ones here. But yeah, this was around where after Boat Ride, like this was just kind of like my downward decline of like, oh man, these are boring now. And it started with this one. Like I just wasn't.
There's a dramatic cut that I like a lot. It's at the end when Shelley faces off against like the clone Stan, and just very dramatic. What the hell do you want? And then they like cut to him and it's just dot, dot, dot. And he goes, chewy chewy chomp. Like I like the dramatic pause before he just says the same shit that he always says. The ending is so dark though. Mephisto shoots him in the head. It's fucked up. I made note of Randy's eyebrows coming back in this episode.
Oh, they in this one. Okay,
and this is the introduction of Sharon, definitely the first time we see Sharon. And And really, the first time we see them as a family unit, like that's
This is where we find out that he's like, oh, okay, that is Stan's dad, you right? Know?
And it's got a sweet ending. The Shelly and Stan ending is sweet. I like it where Stan's like Shelly takes the blame, so that for her scared younger brother, even though she's been beating him up the whole time. Yeah, it's okay. It's an okay episode. You want to move on?
Let's move on.
Let's move on to 106 Death. The introduction of Grandpa Marsh. We got all of the Marshes now. I liked the joke that how like this episode's like about assisted suicide, and every time the kids like go to ask an adult about it, they're like, "I'm not touching that with a 60-foot pole."
Right.
That
right,
is
right,
a
right.
funny recurring joke. Even Jesus is like, "Nope, not touching that."
The wildest thing about this one to me is that the B plot is just a movie.
It's just the movie. It's just the television version of the movie where Kyle's mom is anti Terrence and Phillip trying to get it canceled. Does get it canceled. No resolution to that other than Terrence Phillip is just still on after this episode.
And this one introduces the really complicated. What the fuck is Terrence and Phillip? Because they're real people, but they call it a cartoon half the time.
They call it a cartoon, but they're real people in the show. It doesn't make sense. Like, it really doesn't make sense.
And this one kind of kicks that off. Because, like, isn't the building called, like, Cartoon Central or some
Cartoon
shit like
Central.
That?
I think the thing that they do in this is that they're trying to use... Because, obviously, in this and in what's it called in the film, the idea is that Terrence and Phillip is like the in-universe surrogate for South Park itself. Like they're just commentating on their own existence. And so like, that's where they're calling it a cartoon, right? Is like, it's a cartoon in that regards, but like, yeah, obviously it's not a cartoon. Terrence and Phillip are characters that we see all the time.
And it's like, you know, like the easiest way to fix that is just like, you can make Terrence and Phillip a cartoon and you just make it about the dudes that made it.
Right, totally.
You know what I mean? Like, it's an easy fix. Either you just make it a live action so that they watch it, just make it a cartoon and just have just have two dudes make the cartoon, you know?
That's pretty funny. Yeah, it's weird. They do a lot of weird, like, endings in this. So, like, the end of this is just, like, the show's canceled. No resolution, but it comes back afterwards. Randy's eyebrows are gone again. Made note of that. One episode later, already gone. I forgot that they introduced Death. You know, they do that in Family Guy also. I forgot this.
Right.
This completely introduces Death. And Stan's grandpa wants to die so badly. Still hasn't died 25 years later.
Yeah, man. Wow, man. The beginning of the episode, he's a happy 102nd birthday. I was like, shit.
Yeah, right?
I was like, shit, bro. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and then the Death just turns out Death's going after Kenny. Death's always coming after Kenny. And
this is the one where Kenny has fucking diarrhea most of the
episode. Everyone does. Everyone's got diarrhea. Yeah.
But Kenny,
there's a bunch of diarrhea jokes.
Kenny runs to the bathroom, but it's in the class.
Right.
It's the weirdest
it's in the
visual
classroom?
Joke. Yeah, it's in the classroom. Is it like this? It's just a door behind him. There's two doors. One says boys and one says girls. And he's like shitting while Garrison is teaching. And obviously they're doing it for the bit, but it was just like, what kind of fucking classroom is this?
Yeah. Like, that obviously is not the case ever again in the show.
Right. Yeah. It's like, remember when they just had that random bathroom in Futurama?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like that.
This episode was pretty forgettable for me, but I love the ending where after the show gets canceled, they're like, well, what are we going to do? There's no cartoon. He's like, well, I heard huffing gas fumes is fun. Like, we could try crack.
My uncle says crack is fine. Like, I was like, oh, shit.
But it is funny. It's like a funny piece of commentary. They're like, you really want to get rid of the things that are keeping your kids from doing shitty stuff? Like, they're basically what they're saying here at the end. But overall, this episode's underwhelming for me.
I agree.
I agree. Let's move on. We'll move on.
Little Pink Eye. Yeah, let's do it.
This is the end of the first six. This is the first six that they produced, and then they got picked up for seven more. So Pink Eye is the first one post renewal. And it's their first Halloween episode. They've done a handful of Halloween episodes over the year. They don't do them every year like The Simpsons. They've probably done 7 or 8 Halloween episodes total over 25 years. I should make a video about that because they're actually mostly very good. They mostly are very good at Halloween episodes. Like 2 years in a row, they did two seasons in a row. They did Halloween episodes, which was unusual for the show. And one was The Scoots. Remember The Scoots? The Scoots is so funny. It's a parody of the Birds, but it's about the scooters. It's about bird scooters that show up all over town. And then it's a great episode. And then the other one is Sons of Witches with the Jack and Crack. Weekend for the guys where they go dress up as witches and just do drugs in the woods. That's in the midst of like season 20 or 21, in the midst of like a serialized thing, so people forget about it, but it's such a fucking good episode.
The one I usually think about is the FaceTime one.
The Nightmare on FaceTime is like an all-time episode to me. I love A Nightmare on FaceTime. It's one of my favorite episodes. Like, weird way to do a Shining parody, but god damn it if it isn't great.
That episode's great.
Love that one. I'm gonna make a video about the Halloween specials. That's a fun idea. So I like that this intro is now Halloweenized. This is the first variation of the intro we ever see. I remember the Chewbacca costume thing being a thing. That's funny. Everyone wearing Chewbacca. Random. Why Chewbacca in 1997?
Yeah. That's why Kyle thought he had the shit in the bag.
Right.
You know what I mean? Ain't nobody wearing that Chewbacca shit. You walk in, everybody got that shit on, man.
Maybe the Star Wars special editions had just come out. But they made episodes about the Star Wars special editions. So, like, I feel like that would have been later. Yeah, it's weird. This is of course the one where we see the hints of Cartman being evil, where he's dresses up as Hitler.
Yeah. And my first note is Cartman is fucking bugging. Cause he bugs the fuck out this whole episode.
He does.
Yeah. He bugs the fuck out.
Making sure my cat's not.
You're like, yeah, it's a fucking war going on back over there.
Yeah, they're fucking around. You all right, Hamlet? He's bugging out. He's bugging out like Cartman right now. He's kind of a tweaky cat. He freaks out at stuff. Anyways, I laughed really hard when they're like showing Cartman the educational film about why you can't dress up as Hitler. Is like why Hitler was bad. And the first line is, Adolf Hitler was a very, very naughty man. It's like really underselling it there. But it's so interesting that they set up Cartman as like even though the rest of the season is he feels really different, but like they do set up like Cartman's this kind of evil piece of shit in some ways. But this one, he does feel dumber. He feels dumb and ignorant in this versus like vindictive, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. One of my notes is just Principal Victoria, what are you doing? Because she dresses him up as a Klansman.
This is stupid.
It's so stupid. But when he goes, wow, Chef must be really afraid of ghosts. Do you notice how weird Chef's scream was? They give like that. It's like clearly not Isaac Hayes. Like the scream they give him when he runs away. I like that this is just a full blown zombie episode, though. Like, I like that for their first Halloween episode, they're like, let's just do actual zombies. They're gonna call it Pink Eye, but it's just real zombies. Yeah, and that the whole episode, Kenny is just like, they're with Kenny and he's a zombie and they don't even like they don't even really know or understand what's happening.
I think it's like kind of sweet that like he just doesn't attack the like that they don't find out because he doesn't do anything to them.
He's not gonna fuck up his friends. Of course, that is sweet. That's nice. That's a nice testament to Kenny. Man, I love Kenny. I love Kenny. I got to make a Kenny video. I've been meaning to do that for a long time. Wait, what is this? Oh, I remember this joke now. So when they're trying to figure out something, and they find the crack whore magazine with Cartman's mom on it, and they're like laughing and making fun of it. And I laughed really hard when Jeff goes, "You better let me take that, Kyle."
And he has like a grin on his face and shit. It's just pretty funny.
Super funny.
Also, another thing about Chef is that, like, kind of fucking strength dude Chef got on him when he's talking to the doctor and he just rips that dude's arm off to try to prove a point, but the dude wasn't a zombie and his fucking arm just starts fucking shooting blood. I'm like, shit.
Yeah, man. Chef must be ripped. Jeez.
Right, yeah.
It's funny they just do Thriller. Like, that's such a, it's such a, like, weird, you, if usually this show, at least later, when they do homage and parody, they, like, there's a spin on it. And this was really just them doing, oh, Chef's going to do Thriller for a second. He just does it, right? He's doing, I guess he's singing his own song. But it felt like there maybe would have been. Sort of.
Like, he's like singing, I guess, his lyrics, but it's like to the tune of Thriller.
To the tune of Thriller, right. Yeah. I'm surprised he got away with that, to be honest.
I feel like it was a couple notes off, and it might have been enough to, like, be parody.
Parody law. Yeah. You're right. I love the end because they obviously at the end of every episode they do the bit where they're like, I learned something today. And I like it, this one, they're like, Halloween's not about costumes and candy, it's about giving and like being with your friends. And it's like, no dude, that's Christmas. Oh, well then what's Halloween about? Costumes and candy. Oh, like, it's just a good ending. There's no lesson in this one. Just he thought he learned a lesson, and he was right the whole time before that. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. You got any other thoughts on this one?
We went through all my notes on it.
Yeah, they also did the zombie stuff in the Stick of Truth, which you'll see when we do it. Like, it's interesting how much a few things from season one kind of sneak in to Stick of Truth in an interesting way. Cool. Yeah, it's funny. All right, 108, Starvin' Marvin. I feel like as a kid, I remembered this one very vividly. Like, this episode was just like one I knew about, even though I hadn't seen all of the first season. This is one I knew.
Yeah, I think I just kind of like always, again, this was one of those I kind of always knew about. It was definitely a name that I always remembered. I can't remember if I improvised it or not, but in the Teenage Robot video, I call one of the characters Starvin' Marvin. and I don't remember if I improvised that when I was recording or not, but watching this episode made me realize, like, huh, I guess I don't remember anything about Starvin' Marvin.
Yeah, it's a weird episode, isn't it? I do think that, like, it's a very kid thing. I like them being like, oh, yeah, we'll do this because we can get the sports watch. Like, that's a very silly kid thing to be like, I want to get the sports watch from television.
Sure, yeah.
This was the episode where I noticed Token had the T on his shirt. I wrote that note. And this is something else we talked about. It's so interesting to see early Mrs. Cartman now versus later. Like,
sure, yeah.
This one's very, got a lot of that going on.
And speaking of just like character shit, there's a moment with Stan is like calling, to, like, you know, like, ask about the watch and, like, how much money they gotta put up or whatever. And Kyle, as soon as Stan gets on the phone, Kyle says something like, make sure you ask them, yada, yada, yada. And Stan's like, yo, shut the fuck up. Like, he, like, like, yells at Kyle. And I was like, whoa. Like, it's so wild. Now,
definitely aspects of the group dynamic that they did not have down yet, like, like, it felt like they all blended together a little more in this first season. Like, they're they all have moments where they're like assholes to each other in the way that Cartman is an asshole to them later, you know. And that was interesting. It was like they felt like they all really developed their own distinct personalities as the show went on, which is good. You don't want all your main characters to feel the same, so it's a good thing. I always like the rabid turkey subplot visually, just like a herd of turkeys come in like mowing people down is funny to me.
Sure. I think the thing that kind of makes it funny to me is how turkeys just look on South Park.
Yes, they're super funny. Yeah. You remember the there's the Gobbles episode that we'll get to eventually. Love that shit. Okay, here's something I noticed. So in this season they go a few times to that like all you can eat buffet, Jimmy's eat and feed or whatever it is, Jimmy's all you can eat place. And I noticed they messed up here. They go there, they're all eating. Kyle is eating ham. He's Jewish. He can't eat ham.
Oh shit!
He's not allowed to eat ham. What the hell? they messed up.
Bad vibes.
Come on, guys. Continuity. Because let's see if that's a thing in this. The next episode is about how he's Jewish. That's the whole next episode.
Yeah.
I also made a note of how I was just meant to be a foreshadow in this episode because Cartman gets sent to Africa. But they say, you better watch what you say, Cartman. You might be poor and hungry one day. But like now with the added context of the end of Return of COVID.
That's true.
Yeah. That
is very true.
Messed with my head. I was like, oh, shit.
That's very true. I didn't even connect the dots on that one.
Yeah, that one's I've just been thinking too much about recent South Park. I cover it too much. That's why. I almost gasped when they did this. They made up a slur for poor people in this. Like they call them povs, like poverty stricken people. Like what the fuck? That's crazy. And it's like the mayor and her people, like who are just shitty. So like just them doing shitty things. Yeah. They do the Braveheart recreation in this one. There's like, against the turkeys. You see, like, there's a lot of like stuff where they just do stuff from other, at least a couple. There's Thriller and this where they just do stuff from other movies. And the only spin is that they're against turkeys, but they just do the Braveheart speech. They just do it. I think my favorite line in this, I thought it was funny. Like Starvin' Marvin sitting on the couch and like taking Cartman's place, who just becoming more like Cartman. It just like was like sweet. He just started saying like sweet.
Yeah.
Cheesy poofs. Yeah.
Yeah, I want cheesy poofs.
Sweet. It's pretty funny. And I laughed really hard when Cartman is like struggling and he can't go on. He goes, can't go on. Need appetizer. He needs an appetizer. It's interesting. They kind of had a nice message at the end where they're like, yeah, they're actual people, not like they're not just, it's not just a TV commercial, you know, like these aren't just the subject of some sad commercials. These are people. And then they do the sad Kenny's family ending where they're like, they have the can, they can't open it and Kenny's dead. And it's fucked up. I think it's the whole first time we see this, his whole family too, other than there's no Karen yet. No Karen McCormick quite yet.
Okay.
I feel like they'd introduce her till like 10 years later, at least.
His little sister?
His little sister, yeah. They just have his older brother. Mm. Yeah.
I forget about the older brother.
I know, because they don't do anything with them. They do. They introduce the younger sister, and then she's instantly has more to do than his older brother ever did.
Yeah.
I love Karen. Karen's great. Yeah, the poor kid is one of my favorite episodes. Love it so much. Great episode. All right, should we move on?
Yeah, I don't got nothing for Starvin' Marvin, man.
All right,
my second Let's note says Mr. I'm so bored.
Let's talk Mr. Hankey then. Which, so I imagine the part that you think is gross, which I think is so funny, is Mr. Hankey jumping around the bathroom, right?
Can't do it,
it's
bro.
It's so fucking funny.
The fucking
dude.
Shit so stain. Oh, the, dude.
The cut, though, like him jumping around the bathroom and singing and all that shit, and then the cut to him opening the door and he sees what's happening and Kyle's just holding a piece of shit and there's shit smeared all over the bathroom is so fucking funny to me. It's so funny. And it's weird because like the P episode, I just talked about how that P episode like grossed me out so much in the streaming world too. Like I can't do the P episode. Granted, it's probably because they like are like drinking pee and like putting pee in food all the time, and like so it's like I can stomach the original pee episode and the Streaming Wars part one, even though it has a lot of pee in it, but the Streaming Wars part two has all this like them eating pee, and I'm like, well, I can't deal with that. So like if that were the case here, I don't think I'd enjoy it. But I think what is so funny about this to me is that it's Mr. Hankey jumping around, and then when they don't believe him, to them it's just a piece of poo. Like that's so funny to me.
I do think it's fun. It's just that it was the stains, bro. I just the every stains, time I saw you know, like shit stain, I was like, oh man, no, turn this shit off.
I also like that this is pretty much a musical. First Kyle's Mom's a Bitch sequence.
First Kyle's Mom's a Bitch.
And then, but
Carmen also calls Kyle's mom a super bitch early in the episode, and I wrote down super bitch.
Super bitch.
Because I was like, well, damn.
My favorite part of this episode is the Lonely Jew on Christmas song. Good song. It's a good song. It's a sweet ass song, and it actually is like, it stems from something that is like, real in this world and their character that they've built. You know what I mean? Like everyone in this town and in a lot of towns, like there's like heavy Christian populations and like not that many Jewish folks. Like I think I grew up in a town that's very Christian. There's a few Jewish kids and you know, like to think about what that would be like to see all your other friends celebrate one thing. And then you celebrate something completely different. And I don't know. I just like, it's a nice Kyle episode. I like this is they give the Kyle the most to do in this episode, and they give him a real like actual dilemma with his life, and I appreciate it, and I think the song's sweet. I just think the song's sweet. Yeah, I think after that the episode gets a little less exciting for me. I really like the whole first chunk. And I mean, I do laugh. And then I laugh really hard at the poop part that you don't like. But
can't do it. That, well, another thing that I was just like, what the fuck is in the opening? Like, they're like, guys, look, it's snowing outside. I'm like, you guys live on a fucking mountain.
Right.
I'm like, why is everybody so excited? And he's like, wow, Christmas snow. I'm like, Christmas you get snow every day.
It's a different kind of snow. I will say the thing that absolutely that grosses me out beyond belief in this episode, even though it's conceptually funny, is the live action Mr. Hank. Build your own.
What? That was the next thing I was going to bring up. I was going to ask you about that with the fucking baby.
Where's
Mr. Hanky? Gross. And it's just like, it's obviously like chocolate or something, but it's like shit all over the baby.
Right.
It's like playing
it's so it. Gross. Like, But there's some other funny parts in there. Like I laughed when the little girl was just like, I wish daddy was still alive.
Yeah. And then the mom doesn't have like a, aw, like it's just kind of like like it's like one of those. It's like I think that's what made that like get like a chuckle out of me. I was like, damn, why does she react like that?
And then obviously this is the only episode where Kenny doesn't die in the first season, and they keep faking it out. I think those are funny when they make you think, oh, this is how he's gonna go. Here it is, and at the end they're like, something's unfinished. What's going on? But I thought it was funny how like one of the resolutions came because like no one believed Kyle. He gets sent to the institute, and then Chef is just like, oh, you mean Mr. Hankey? It's like he just knows who Mr. Hankey is, like the Christmas poo, of course. I thought that was funny. I'm mixed on this episode. I really like parts of it, but it's overall, I think, pretty middling, I would say.
Yeah, I get you. This one's I don't think this one's for me. You
can't handle the poop.
They referenced Charlie Brown too much in the opening for me. I got a little upset.
I wrote a note about that in a later episode. I'll read it to you when we get there.
Oh, man.
You're going to hate me. All right, let's move on. Let's move on to Damien. 110, Damien. This is like the introduction of Satan and the first real like Jesus-centric episode. I think this is a really smart premise. This is a really funny premise to me. It's like literally like Satan challenging Jesus to a fight. I mean, the whole like he's got this whole grift. I love that he's got his whole grift here, where he's the only one who bets on himself. That's a fun twist at the end where everyone's just like, well, we're going to bet on Satan, obviously. And then he just throws the fight. I think that's really funny. I like some of the Damien stuff where they're like, even though he's the son of Satan and he's got all these powers, like this stupid fucking new kid, like this damn new kid's here. And then the way that he like wins them over is just beating up Pip, setting Pip on fire or sending him to hell or whatever. It's a weird episode. Oh, and then this Eric's birthday party. I always remembered Eric's birthday party as a kid because I remember him going, ants in the pants. Ants in the pants.
Yeah. He gets really mad. Yeah.
What do you think about Damien?
I have two notes on Damien. I'll start with my second one. My second one says, how are Jesus and Satan about to fight and I'm bored? And my first note is about, which is, you talk about the ants in the pants thing being something you always remember. Mine was the music that plays every time Damien rants.
Yes, totally.
that like got like a good like nostalgic laugh out of me just because I remembered it for so many years. I forgot that it was in that episode, and then it comes back later because I think like there's like a random episode later where like like characters just start singing it kind of.
I think in general they did a good job with some of their music stings and their dramatic dramatic music stings and like the recurring music stings in this season, I think are funny, and they've always been good at, I think. This episode, it's one where I like the premise a lot and the episode itself less. That's how I feel about this one. But there are like, I like the individual parts of it. I love the idea that, I just love the premise that Satan throws the fight and to win a bet. It's funny. I like that even Father Maxie bets on Satan. he won't bet on Jesus.
Yeah.
It's funny. There's some really funny bits in here. But yeah, I don't have much else to say other than like, I think it's kind of got a sweet ending where they're like, what do they say? He's got a sad goodbye where like Damien finally starts to fit in, and then he's got to go back to hell with Satan, and they're like, oh man, he was just starting to get along with everyone. I think it's like kind of sweet that the boys are like, oh, poor Damien. Even though he shows up, he's in the movie, doesn't say anything, but he's in it.
He is in the class, isn't he?
Yeah, he's in the class.
He's in the class.
And he goes to the movie theater. Comes out of the movie theater after they see Asses of Fire. God, I love that fucking movie. I might watch that movie tonight. All right, let's move on. You got anything else about Damien? You only had two notes.
Yeah, no, anything. I didn't realize how many notes I had for the next one, but actually I got a good handful.
Cool. Let's talk about Tom's rhinoplasty. So this is where I got the note for you. First, my first note is, when they introduce the sub, and they say, well, treat her with the same respect you would have for Mr. Garrison. He said, we don't have respect for Mr. Garrison. It's just really funny. But they do the peanut smiles when they meet her, right?
Oh, yeah, I guess and so. Because I remember seeing that, and I was like, that's weird. They'd never do anything like that again, especially like they have like a music sting right there. Yeah. It's like everything
they've
that they
never
just
done
never
anything
do.
Like that. It's fully the peanut smiles, and I wrote the peanut smiles. You cannot escape it, Tariq.
This is bad vibes, and especially like it got to the point where like I tried so hard not to think about it that like it didn't even register as peanuts to me. Like you saying it is the first time it connected in my brain. It's like, oh, I guess that was kind of how Charlie Brown smiles.
You're very welcome. Chef is so funny in this one. I love when he comes in to flirt with Miss Ellen. And she goes, I'm the substitute. And he goes, well, I'm sure there's no substitute for you. That's such a fucking good chef line.
Fam, the after she agrees to go to dinner with him, and Cartman says, ah, shit, Chef's going to make sweet love to Miss Ellen. She's like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, what? And they just keep saying that shit. She's so like, what funny. The fuck? Yeah.
I like that.
I was laughing because so the subplot here is Mr. Garrison going and getting his nose job, which turns him into David Hasselhoff.
Right. Yeah. Sure.
But I was laughing because there's a joke in there where they was like, have you ever seen the movie Contact? And he starts vomiting. And goes, that's such a bad movie.
It's such a bad movie.
Contact's a good movie. Fuck them. It's a good movie.
I've never seen Contact, but Contact's so great. Funny that he keeps throwing up.
yeah, I know it is funny, but Contact's a good movie. He spoils the ending, and he expresses his disappointment at the ending. Good movie though. It's a fucking good movie. Watch Contact.
My first note is a joke. That happens right before the chef's gonna make sweet love to Miss Ellen is when chef comes in and says that Kyle left his laundry detergent.
And then
chef says crazy crackers always leaving the detergent all over the place. What the fuck does that even mean? This shit is so funny.
Yeah, dude, I'm always leaving my laundry detergent places.
And it's like box detergent. Like it's like
yeah,
powder.
It's like powder. Yeah, old powder. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's so funny. Because of the Miss Ellen thing, the kids are so fucking mean to each other in this one. They're just all so mean.
Yeah.
They're all fighting over her and they're mean as hell. I got a big laugh of when they're all giving her gifts. And she opens Kenny's and like, Kenny got me a scrumptious looking sausage. And then Kenny just laughs hysterically. It's really funny. It's really funny. I love that Kenny is like, even in this season, Kenny's whole thing is that like he is very sexually oriented in his comedy, but you can't understand what he's saying. So right. All the kids are always like, they always say something that alludes to the fact that he said something sexual, but we couldn't hear it.
And then later on, Matt just kind of like actually talks and like actually says shit. But
you can understand him a lot later.
Yeah, it's intelligible here, and it's done on purpose. There's a joke way early on. It is in an episode. I don't think I brought it up, but he says, Kenny says something, and then I think it was Cartman. He says, what? How do you know she has a cat?
Yes. And yeah. Then they just start just laughing. About that so one. Funny. Yeah. Yeah. So funny. So funny.
I like that one. This is something I wanted to ask about. Why is this a thing in just TV shows where like when characters are attracted to a teacher out of nowhere, the teacher says like, if everybody, whoever gets the highest score on their homework, they get to go to dinner with me. Why?
Yeah, it's like, it's not a thing. It would be weird. Parents would be weirded out if that happened. You can't do that. It's just not a thing. It's like a TV thing is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. The other funny part of this episode is when Chef tells them all that she's a lesbian and they're like, well, we'll just be lesbians too. Like there's like literally licking carpet.
My last note about the episode, which is a joke I forgot about. They're like, oh damn, Cartman, you still trying to be a lesbian? And he says, yeah, my mom says all I have to do is chew on his box. And he has like a cardboard box. It's so funny.
Oh my god, it's so funny.
That shit is hilarious.
This is another example of an episode that has funny music stings. Every time new Garrison shows up, he's got a funny music sting, like the David Hasselhoff Garrison. They're good at that shit early on. The place Stan goes to eat with Miss Ellen is the same Jimmy's Buffet, King Jimmy's Buffet or whatever. So place showed up a bunch in this season, and I don't think that place, like I'm trying to think if it's in Stick of Truth, because Stick of Truth is like the whole town. You can walk around the whole town. And I'm like, oh, just did they replace it with a different restaurant? Is it or is it actually in town still? Or was this just an early on location that they abandoned later? Yeah, this is the one. This is the insane Wendy ending one where she. Does she hire the Taliban of like? To Word. Murder.
Yeah, she goes. Murder she goes Michelle. Crazy.
It's absolutely wild ending. No way on earth the Wendy we know would do anything like this.
Anything like that, or even care. Well, I mean, like, I'm not gonna say she wouldn't care about how Stan was acting, but she would be like, Stan, what the fuck is wrong with you? Instead of just like Wendy gets like really sad, and then she gets angry. And then, like, sad again, and she, like, does something about it. It's like,
for sure.
it was just a direction that they wouldn't go. Stan barfing crossed the line for me in this episode because
when he barfed into her mouth. I wrote that down, too. Like that. I said, puke in the mouth, gross.
That's bad. That was bad vibes.
Yeah, not into that. That's the thing. That's kind of my, that ends up being a lot of the time my limit for the gross out stuff, as seen in Streaming Wars Part 2 with all the eating of pee and drinking of pee. Can't handle it. And then in this one, like, I can handle Stan puking. I can handle Garrison puking after his nose job. But when he pukes in her mouth, I'm like, oh, nope. No, thanks. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Not a fan. You got any other thoughts on this one?
Well, my last note about it is that there's a wild Kenny death. It's when they find out who she is, and she's like, no, you're not gonna fucking take me, and then
she kills him.
Yeah, I think it's just because that's a really wild shot,
right?
And like how it like just comes at Kenny, then it gets him, and then camera still follows till he hits the wall.
You know what my notes in succession are, and I think it's because I took a while to take these notes, and I think I wrote it when Kenny said something funny early on, but my two notes in a row are, I love Kenny. And then after that, oh no, Kenny, frowny face. all right. You want to move on to 112?
Yeah.
All right. Mecha Streisand. This is the kind of wild shit I love from South Park. Like, this is so bonkers, insane. And I love it. The combo of the people who they use in this as their like transformation kaijus is so funny to me. You've got it's just a full on Japanese like kaiju plot where they're like, they discovered the triangle of Xanthar or whatever. and they're like, they discover this thing, and then Barbra Streisand shows up to take it. And then like watching the episode the first time, I'm like, where is this going? And then the fact that she turns into Mecha Godzilla, like Mecha Streisand, is so funny to me. But the trio of people that they use to like fight Mecha Streisand, Leonard Maltin, Sidney Poitier, Robert Smith of The Cure.
When I saw Sidney, I was like, what the fuck? Like, I was like, wait, what? It just confused the shit out of me.
I laugh so hard with the shot where he flies in. He just like Superman flies in and lands. He's like, it's me, Sidney Poitier.
It's me. And then, you know, Chef gets really excited. Okay, so Chef says something to Sidney that like is literally contradicted in the next episode. And it like bothered the shit out of me because I've never seen a show like contradicted like that close together.
Right.
He says, wow, Sidney Poitier in my hometown. And then in the next one, when he meets Cartman's mom, he says, oh, I just moved here. And he's an adult. It's not your fucking hometown.
You're right.
I was like, what the fuck?
Maybe it's just them using the term differently, like the town in which my home is. Right.
Man,
like, I don't
fuck
know.
That.
That's interesting. I didn't even catch that they said he just moved there. So Chef's recently moved to South Park in the beginning of the show.
Before Cartman was born, because you know that was the little, and he says that flashback,
right? I'm a huge Godzilla fan. I'm just a huge like kaiju film fan. So like this episode does all of this stuff, and clearly Matt and Trey are as well. Because like this just like goes beat by beat a very silly old school Showa era kaiju film.
Yeah.
And so like they have the Mothra twins, like they have the two twins who are like in the Mothra movies and the Godzilla vs. Mothra movies. They're these two twins who are like in the movies, they're tiny. They're literally like these tiny people and they're twins and they like are the keepers of Mothra. Just very strange. So I love that they had that. I love Leonard Maltin, when he grows up to be, when he like sizes up to fight Mecha Streisand, he's kind of, there's two characters I think of. One, there's Jet Jaguar from a Godzilla film called Godzilla vs. Megalon, and then he also kind of looks like Ultraman, which is similar styles. There's that kind of style kaiju thing in Japan as well. So I like how I just love the variety of kaiju stuff they pulled from here, because they've got Leonard Maltin being like the Ultraman style thing. You've got Barbra Streisand being Mecha Godzilla. You've got Robert Smith being Mothra, basically. And then Sidney Poitier is Gamera, who Gamera is not even part of Godzilla. He's a just separate kaiju franchise, but he's fully designed after Gamera. So I don't know. It's just like so clear that they love this fucking silly ass kaiju genre, because they pulled from everywhere. And I love that shit. I just think this episode's so silly. It's so fucking silly. Like and how seriously they take it. Like Leonard Maltin's just like so serious about like has Barbra Streisand showed up yet?
It's
so funny. And then they go to get Robert Smith. He's like, Leonard Maltin sent me to get you. He's like, Mecha Streisand's escaped, hasn't she? Or something like this. Like, he's like, or like, Barbra Streisand found the Triangle of Xanthar, didn't she? It's very funny to me. It's great. I also laughed hysterically at the line that Cartman yells, "Damn your black heart, Barbra Streisand!" It's super funny to me. This just hits this one hits so many of my things. That's all.
Makes me think about in the movie when he's saying all the swears and Barbra Streisand is one of the swears.
It's one of the swears. Yeah. It's fucking great. That's a good follow up to this, actually. I do like the bit where Mrs. Bruflovsky goes to get the autograph and like the giant, like to the Mecha Streisand, and she like stops and signs her thing and gives it to her. It's very funny. She's still very vain, even as a giant monster. It's great. And then they kill her. Then Robert Smith is able to destroy her, send her into space. She explodes. She does come back though. You remember that?
No.
When Mecha Streisand comes back in 200 and 201. They do like a 3D. They do like a 3D model Mecha Streisand.
That does happen, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Okay. I got to rewatch those. It's been a long time.
It's been. I don't think I've seen them since they aired.
Well, they don't air them anymore. They're not available on HBO Max. And the original airing of 201 bleeped the name Muhammad every time they said it. And I do have an uncensored version. I'll send it to you. Don't know where it came from, but I've got it.
Friends in high places. Look what I got.
I'm sure they fucking leaked that shit themselves. This is I like this episode. This episode just hits so many. It hits so many of my buttons, and I love when South Park just gets batshit with like silly ass lore. Like I love that stuff. So this one's good for me. You got any other thoughts on it?
Nah, man. I think the last thing I wrote was this ending is stupid, but I don't remember what the ending was.
I don't remember either. Yeah. Oh, it's Ike, Mecha Ike.
Oh yeah, that pissed me off.
That was a dumb ending. I agree. It's a weird thing. Like South Park doesn't do that often, where they just do endings that are just like they cut it off at the action and then never follow it up. Like that's not. I feel like that's not that common for South Park. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm misremembering. But all right, move on to the finale, the season finale.
Cartman's
mom is a dirty slut. Is the name of this episode. First appearance of all of Cartman's stuffed animals, Clyde Frog, Peter Panda, Polly Pissy Pants, who become big important parts of the show later, kind of. There's a great episode in season 15 about them that I love.
I think I've seen it.
I never thought about until right now, until watching this episode, how his frog is named Clyde and there's also a kid named Clyde. Never thought about it. Clyde Frog.
Clyde Frog, man.
Clyde Frog. I love the fair part.
I think Clyde Frog has a name before Clyde.
Does he?
Do they say Clyde's name?
Oh.
Here?
They do say Clyde's name in the season. I remember Garrison says it once. Yeah. Okay. He definitely does. I don't remember where, but I remember Garrison saying it and it feeling even weirder because they still didn't get Clyde's name like voice right. He still sounded like Butters. I laugh really hard at him asking his mom, like, you know how my friend Stan has a dad? And you know how my friend Kyle has a dad? And you know how my friend Kenny has a dad? it's just like, why don't you know what he's asking?
Yeah. And then it's just silent for like 20 seconds.
She's shocked. She's surprised when he likes what he actually says, what he means. It's very funny. Yeah, it's super funny.
Man, let me just be the one to say, this poor fucking child.
I know.
All he wants is to know who his fucking dad is. And everybody gives him the runaround. And then the buddy says, all right, I could figure it out for you. It's just going to cost $3,000. And he can't get $3,000. And it's exactly like the fucking streaming wars where Stan and Kyle help him out with whatever they're doing to give him the money. But it's like, in the streaming wars, it's just kind of like he's just kind of being like an entitled asshole. He just wants to get his mom titties. Like, that's just really what it is. But here, he is genuinely about to cry. He has no idea that Stan and Kyle like have money incoming or anything like that. He has no idea. He is just very fucking sad that he doesn't know who his dad is.
It's so genuine.
I was like, damn, man.
And it's early enough in the show where you can really feel bad for Cartman because he is not evil yet. Like, you really can feel for him here. And I appreciate that. I really appreciate it. The journey to finding out who his father is nuts. Like, when he thinks it's Chef and he just puts the tracksuit and the hair and the chains and everything.
West Side.
I feel like that clip was used so much in like promotion for South Park for years.
I guess because they thought it was funny as fuck, but it's
also such a tiny thing. It's like in it for like 10 seconds. It's such a small part of the episode, but it is funny. It's a funny bit. I thought the craziest joke in this episode when they're like, well, who here hasn't had sex with Mrs. Cartman? And like, even Jesus and Father Max.
Yeah. I was like, oh man, this poor fucking child, bro. That shit, fam, when they keep telling them the stories and she locks eyes with all of the dudes and like it just plays that song and
yes.
like zooms Love in. When they do that with the entire Denver Broncos team, it is so funny.
I know, dude.
That shit is hilarious.
I think I remember this episode. I do like this episode a lot, but I think all of my biggest laughs come from the follow up. Because the follow up is when they keep over the course of the episode doing the thing, who is Cartman's father? Which is so fucking funny. It's so funny every time. There were a couple lines that fucking killed me. I love after like when Cartman realizes when he thinks he's not going to figure out who his dad is. And Jimmy goes, well, it's okay, son. I never knew who my father was either. I mean, I did know who he was, and we had some great times hunting and fishing. It's just like, it's completely, it's been so funny. And then when Cartman realizes that they sent in his tea party video to the show, and he's just like turning red, he's like,
he is so fucking red.
Pissed off right now. It's like that delivery where he can barely get the words out
is so
fucking funny to me. I love it a lot.
There's the one that I love is the subversion on the on a bus driver where Stan says, "We're not getting on, you fat ugly bitch." And she says, "What did you say?" And he says, "We're not getting on, you fat ugly bitch." She says, "Oh, yes.
Okay."
She closes the door. He's like, "I always wondered if that would work."
I always thought that would work. Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah, this is a super funny episode. It feels like this is what, and it kind of feels like this feels a little more like they've moved into later territory, even though it's still season one, I think a little bit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's funny. I think part two is funnier. I remember it being funnier. We'll find out. Maybe I'll watch mm-hmm. it. And I also know it has a fucked up ending. it has a pretty fucked up ending, but, who is Cartman's father? Is it Jeff, Mr. Garrison, the Denver Broncos? It's super, super funny. Man, it's great. You got any other thoughts on this one?
No, I don't know.
Good finale. Fun finale. I like that they end the first season on a cliffhanger, too.
Yeah.
It's a bold move. Bold move. I guess they knew they were getting more.
If they didn't get renewed, well, I feel like they knew they were going to get renewed, but if they didn't get renewed, they just probably would have thought it would have been funny that they did.
Yeah. So, yeah, probably. You're probably right. Do you have any other thoughts? I mean, I guess we kind of at the top went over a lot of what we felt about this season. Do you have any other thoughts on season one of South Park in general, as it stands in relation to the rest of the show?
I don't know. Like I said, I just kind of found a lot of these boring.
Yeah.
It reminds me, like, it makes me think about all the other first seasons that we did and how, like, I just found so many things, like, really interesting. And like The Simpsons, it was just so interesting to see, like, how different it was. With King of the Hill, it was interesting to see, like, the seeds that they planted. With Family Guy, it was just so fucking funny.
Yeah.
But here is just, I feel like this is like my least favorite of
between maybe. Simpsons, King of the Hill, and Family Guy.
Definitely between those.
Definitely between those.
But it, like, it might be my least favorite season one out of like all the ones we've talked about so far.
Yeah.
Like
Archer is better. Futurama is better. Home movies, I like Rick and Morty. Rick and Morty's good. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
This might be our weakest season one, which is crazy. But that's interesting. Like, interesting to, it will be interesting to see how the show evolves if we keep rolling with this one. This one starts to have pretty long seasons. They do like 17 episode seasons, which is better than many of the shows we might cover. 17's better. But,
yeah, for sure.
And then eventually they get down to 14, which is doable. And then even after that, eventually it's 10, which is easy. But that's like way down the line.
Right.
Yeah. I just was fascinated to see what characters were main characters, were set up to be mainstays, like Barb Brady and the mayor. And, you know, Jimbo had a big role early on, like bigger role early on, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And Chef, obviously. They still use Chef for years, but like... But he was like, he is a big part of almost every episode in this season. Yeah, it's really interesting. Just a really interesting, given how the show is evolved many times over the years. I mean, the show evolved into what people remember as classic South Park, and then evolved again into, like, I feel like the middle era is quite a bit different than that. And then like the early serialization, and then the Tegrity, and like there's so many like little eras of South Park, which I personally love. Like I think that keeps
it interesting.
Totally. I can't, like, even there's eras I like more than others, but like if the show is trying to do the same shit the whole time, it's like, well, what's the point? Like, what's the point?
Cat is like,
your cat's trying to get
out.
In here. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. She's like running around the living room or something. I don't know what's going on.
Should we do our rankings?
Let's go.
All right. I'm going to start from the bottom. Number 13, weight gain 4,000. 12, death. 11, Tom's rhinoplasty. 10, an elephant makes love to a pig. 9, Starvin' Marvin. 8, Pink Eye. 7, Damien. 6, Mr. Hanky the Christmas Poo. 5, Cartman gets an anal probe. 4, Cartman's mom is a dirty slut. 3, Volcano. 2, Mecha Streisand. 1, Big Gay Al's Big Gay Boat Ride.
One of only one of our, well, two of ours like link up perfectly. The rest is just all over the place.
Hell yeah. Let's see.
I guess three actually. 13, Weight Gain 4000, 12, An Elephant Makes Love to a Pig, 11, Starving Marvin, 10, Mr. Hanky the Christmas Pooh, 9, Mecha Streisand, 8, Damien, 7, Death, 6, Cartman Gets an Anal Probe, 5, Pink Eye, 4, Cartman's Mom is a Dirty Slut, 3, Tom's Rhinoplasty, 2, Volcano, and 1, Big Gay Owl's Big Gay Boat Ride. You got
top and bottom are the same. That's cool.
Yeah.
Man, you didn't like Mecha Streisand as much as I did. Bummer.
No.
But we had a lot, like, in general, other than a couple that were flipped, like, other than, like, you having Mr. Hanky low and Mecha Streisand low, in general, we're, like, similar placements, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Which happens a lot. That happens a lot with us. This was fun. Fun to talk about this show. I basically spent all day watching South Park. It's been a long day.
Yeah, me too.
This will be, it'll be interesting to see what we want to cover after we finish these season ones. I guess this is kind of it, yeah? Or unless we could theoretically cover American Dad or Bob's for season ones, or we just figure out which of these we want to talk about moving forward. Mm-hmm. Which at the moment feels like King of the Hill or The Simpsons. Feels like those are our, I don't know how you're feeling. That's what I felt. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. I think those are the logical steps. I wouldn't mind doing Family Guy. We don't even know yet though. We don't know how that one's going to do.
Let's see how people react Family Guy. We did get some new patrons for Family Guy because they wanted to see us. About it, and it seems like it has a lot of like previews, a lot more previews than a lot of our early eps have when we throw them up early for the patrons. Season two has 21 episodes. Fuck. God, these are gonna kill us. I would also not mind doing Family Guy though. Family Guy season two. It's just I wasn't even thinking about it because we recorded it so long ago.
We're talking about the Batman at the top of that, bro.
I know, it's so
like,
funny.
I'm fresh out the theater. Like, I don't even remember doing that.
You literally had just gotten back from seeing the Batman. That's crazy.
Fuck.
Man, this was great. Really like talking about South Park. If you liked this, make sure to check out the Patreon, in which we will be talking about other Matt and Trey stuff. That's going to be soon. Actually, by the time this comes out, the week that this first part is out, which, fuck, this isn't in the first part. So I'll... fuck!
Whatever.
I blew it.
Whatever.
That week is when... If you're hearing this, that means we've got at least one Matt and Trey project, Cannibal the Musical, up on Patreon. So check that out. We're going to be covering them for a couple months, basically, and that'll be a fun time. We love Matt and Trey. I'm eager to... Cannibal the Music is going to be similar to this, I think. We're like, oh, this is such early, like, this is so early, weird, tame Matt and Trey humor. But, it's going to be weird. It's going to be weird, but I'm excited to do it. Do you have anything to plug, Tariq?
No.
No.
Just a bucket full of dreams, man. Whatever.
Do you think you'll have anything to plug in a week and a half when this comes out?
I guess maybe class of 3000, the class of 3000 video, class of 3000. More than they'll be up.
Hell yeah.
By then.
Hell yeah. Go check that out. I'll have, I think, a new video about Hank Hill crying. Every time Hank Hill cries, what makes him cry, which I think is going to turn out pretty good. And probably some other stuff. I think I got some BoJack shit finally coming out again.
Nice.
I gotta get to work on that fucking BoJack timeline, man.
It's gonna keep staring at you until you do something about it, bro.
The problem is I have sponsorships, so I need to like do things I can finish first. And then I got
it. Ain't that the yeah. way, bro? It's yeah. so much shit where I'm like, man, I'll do this right now if I ain't have so many damn obligations.
Exactly. But... cool. All right. Well, this has been great. This has been a lot of fun. I had a great time talking South Park with you. And with that, I want to thank Carrie Feek for our amazing artwork. I want to thank Jake Neutron for the theme song. I want to thank Michael Yunez for producing and editing the podcast and co-hosting our After Dark episodes with us. I want to thank Toonrific Tariq for co-hosting every episode with me and being just a lovely man who I like talking to.
Appreciate that.
I want to thank all of you for listening and making this possible, making this worth doing. And thank all of our cursed ones who have signed up for our Patreon. And with that, have a great day. Thank you very much.